Hey, it's showtime, folks. Welcome in 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your day, to your, as the great Leland Stadium says, hump day.
Yeah, man.
We need to get him on one day. That'd be fun.
It's dark in here, legend. Man. With lights on.
You want me to turn the lights up?
Nah, during the break.
Oh, hang on.
I have to. You don't do all that stuff over there. There we go.
Look at that.
Much better.
Multi-talented.
Let there be light, the good Lord said.
That's right. Big, big show today. Excited about it as we go 3 hours once again here on this Wednesday. So very, very excited to have John McClain at 9:30.
I'm proud of you, man. I mean, you are – by 11 o'clock, we're like, oh, we're out here. And then we're staying strong till noon. I love it.
We're getting it going for sure. So – the Live Tour is in our city starting, I guess, today. They have press conferences and all of that, but they will be here starting tomorrow. We'll be out there Friday. We're going to do the afternoon show on Friday from 3 to 6.
Yeah.
I thought you were spilling something.
No, man. I got really nervous. No, I did not do a Greg Pogue and spill coffee everywhere.
Thank you.
Then say, I don't know how that happened. It's like, I wonder how. Is the lift only 3 days and not four? Is
yeah,
that correct?
I think so. I think it's 3 days. I saw our buddy Greg yesterday.
How's he doing?
He's good.
Was he Ubering you?
Yeah, he was. He was driving me around town, me and Jeff Fisher. So we're excited about that and all the things that we're going to be doing. So
looking forward to that. Yeah. So tomorrow, our own golf tournament out at Hermitage. Or is that right? Hermitage?
Yep.
Okay. Hermitage and then the Live on Friday. A lot of golf coming your way.
Few days. Live golfer Taylor Gooch will join us at 10 o'clock today.
Today. All right.
Yeah. So he's on the Live Tour. He'll join us.
They have a party hole I saw.
Yes.
Like the 15th. If you get a hole in one, it's like $100,000. I mean, is that for like us or do we have to like bid on it? I don't know how that works.
I don't know how that works.
Perhaps I should research it before I bring it up on the air.
You probably should.
Yeah,
but that's
maybe.
Okay.
Things happen that way.
Taylor went to Oklahoma State, so he's a Cowboy.
Okay.
So he'll join
Cowboy.
Us. Yep, he'll join us at 10.
Do you know who else went to Oklahoma State, musician-wise?
Garth Brooks. Come on now.
Who threw the javelin, and then we need to get you. We still, Dr. Crane, we're going to get Chase pole vaulting and javelin. Although I think the javelin, I'm worried because I think he might fall and stab himself.
No.
that's what I'm worried about with Chase.
I think he's okay. He's more coordinated than we think.
And you have your buddy that is a coach somewhere that from FRA. Is it Nolensville High School or somewhere that
– I actually thought he was helping at FRA, but
okay.
I could be wrong.
Maybe he could help you. So he'd help you with
listener to the show.
Pole vault, because the Olympics is coming up, and then you know we could have you do the pole vault. Do you think you could pole vault at all?
No.
I don't think any of us could. Dr. Crane probably could.
I believe I could.
Oh, tough guy.
I'm just confident today.
Could you do it with our cute intern on your back?
Joe.
No?
No, I cannot.
I bet you could.
It would distract me.
Well, let's find out.
Race car driver Ty Gibbs is going to join us today as well. And then comedian Brian Posehn, who's going to be at City Winery, he'll join us at 11:30. So we got a lot going on today.
We do. He is a comedian that his name might not ring a bell, but when you see his picture, you're like, absolutely know that guy. He's been in 1,000 things. And he's also very funny.
Yep. He was, he's been in The Mandalorian. He's been, Big Bang Theory, I guess. He's in a lot of things.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So he will join us at 11:30. We'll hit a lot of different things. Sad news coming out last night out of the baseball world. Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid, passing away at the age of 92, I believe. They're showing it right now on ESPN. But saw that during the Stanley Cup final, about the second intermission, Steve Levy, broke in and announced that he had passed away. So I heard the morning show, Robbie and Paul this morning, talking about that greatest living player, who is now the greatest living player of all time, because a lot of people said Willie Mays before his passing. But sad to see it.
It is. It is a – you talk about living legends. I mean, that was a living legend. So who's the next – who now becomes the living legends?
It's a great question.
I mean, for football, there's still quite a few. You know, I love Joe Namath. He's a living legend.
But you think about, like, Willie Mays – passed away, and then I'm looking at when it was. So last year, Jim Brown died.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, we're losing
Bill Russell.
Bill Russell passing away. We just lost Jerry West. I mean, all these icons that, I mean, you knew we were going to get to this day. They're obviously a lot older, but it's sad to finally see it that you don't have those. Now you have to keep those stories alive.
Yes.
That they can no longer tell.
Well, not only that, but you think about people like, to me, Bradshaw is wonderful. Is he a living legend? I'm not so sure in the vein
of his own mind.
Yeah, right. And a Willie Mays or a Jim Brown or Bill Russell, and those guys, I guess larger than life was a way you'd have to take this. Willie Mays was larger than life. I mean, he was an amazing man athlete, and the impact after he played was one of those things. And I think you got to take all that into account, and that's what he was.
That's the difference. And I don't know who said this originally. I know it was John Cena said it one time in wrestling, but, you know, you'll always say that you're good. They'll tell you you're great.
So talking
about the
Walter
was Payton. That Walter Payton?
Yeah.
Okay. But it's the truth. And, you know, Mays was kind of that guy that, you know, he every time you saw him, it's just like he probably knew he was great, but he never bragged about it.
Right. A lot of media personalities like to say that too as well. They'll tell you they're good.
Yeah.
If you're great, they will tell, you know, you'll tell people you're good.
Right.
They'll tell you when you're great.
Exactly.
That's
why I've listened to the people and I've let the people decide, and they've been deciding.
They have been deciding. They are
their things lately.
Wonderfully great people that could do that. Which leads me to our question. All right,
okay.
And it's not really so sports, but follow me for a second. You too, Dr. Crane. Quit back there and surfing the internet and listen to this. Here's what I want to know today. Right, it's not so much a question, but I just need a response. I need you and our listeners today to tell me what's good in your life. And I preface this by saying an old baseball coach, his wife's got cancer, and it's not good. And there was another friend of mine who lost a parent not too long ago to cancer. And I know somebody else who's got breast cancer, right? So I'm wearing a little pink today, you know, honoring those who are battling breast cancer. I want to know what's good in your life. I really want to know good things today. And I know it's not so much, and I know, Chase, I surprised you with this one. But let us know. Let us know what's good in your life. I mean, if the Tennessee Vols and the College World Series is making you happy, let us know. I want to know what's good in your life, because you all too often you turn on social media, it's like, you know, somebody's passed away, somebody's died, you know, if Willie Mays' death. I mean, I need to know something that's good in your life. And just let us know. It's that simple. 615-737-1025. Throughout the show, this don't have to be our main topic. It just let us know what's good in your life.
And driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, sometimes you just kind of need to talk about the good.
There's
we talk about too much negative in this world.
Yeah. What's
Everybody
good in your
focuses
life?
On the negative. Look, I'm the happiest I've ever been doing what I'm doing. Like, I'm, you know, I'll be 37 on Tuesday.
Birthday, buddy.
And, yeah, I know. We need to take the show out and have, like, a party somewhere.
Yep. Birthday.
But I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm, you know, I worked very, very hard to get a spot on the air.
Indeed.
And you know. I mean, you lived it. You were a part of it.
Yep.
And it's kind of funny that I had that moment when, you know, I became program director, because I worked pretty hard at that too.
Yep.
And, you know, as you've learned about me, when somebody says, oh, you can't do both, you have to choose. Like, you have to – I kind of sound like Fisher. You have to choose.
Yes.
That's a choose. But then I look at you and I go, watch me. And so
beautiful.
I
there you go. That's good.
You know, I'm hosting a show with you, having a lot of fun, having a lot of success. And I'm the PD and director of ops of a successful station that's having the best run that's ever had.
It is.
And so we got a lot of good people here. And look, I'm not doing that all on my own. I'm not saying that. I mean, we got a great team.
Right.
You know, here of producers and hosts and, you know, management and things like that.
Interns.
Dr. Crane, you know, has been one of our prized pupils that has done a fantastic job. But, you know, I'm happy. And then I got great friends and family. You know, mom's still healthy and here and all that stuff. So I'm good.
Yeah, Dr. Crane, what's got, buddy? What's good for you?
Also, thank you, Chase, for the nice compliment.
Hey, you're welcome.
Likewise to the both of you.
Leave the check on my desk.
Yeah, yeah, you got it. No, a lot of things are going well in my life right now. Just the fact that, you know, everybody in my family's healthy. My grandmother's going for a checkup today with her hip, so she's able to drive if it all turns out well.
How old is she?
She's going to be 82 in September. So
fantastic.
She's bebopping along. But other than that, like you guys mentioned it, great friends. You know, in life, when you surround yourself with good people, good things happen. And so being able to surround myself with you guys at work, along with people outside of work, it's just been a very, I guess, happy, green type way to look at things. So just always looking at it in an optimistic mindset. That's kind of about it. I you know, just always go outside, enjoy outside. Because a lot of people, they always work. And working is a very tough thing nowadays with people, because a lot of people call in sick for one day or something like that. Well, you know, after you're done work and you work hard, just take a deep breath, enjoy outside for about 45, 30 minutes.
There you go.
And you're able to just take a step back and realize what you have. And
all right.
So
amen.
That's something that I've realized, is I've taken a step back outside of work, outside of friends and meeting with people. And it's like, you know, I got it pretty darn good. And
good for you.
Just very thankful for all that. And so thank you, both of you. You guys really helped me out throughout the day. So thanks very much.
Got you, man.
Oh, you're good, man. 615-737-1025. Just weighing throughout the day. Don't care what it is. Whatever's good in your life, we need to hear it, because, again, you'll open up social media and somebody's got cancer, somebody
social
passed
media
away.
Will pull you in a
but
dark place.
It can also be good things if we let it do good for us. So just let us know what's happening, what's great in your life. You know, I spoke to a guy last night. He's over the moon excited about Tennessee baseball.
Yeah.
You know, and then I said, well, you know, it could end tonight. They could get eliminated. And he's like, why would – and I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, my mind.
Why would you do that?
Just enjoy today, you know. And that's all too often we go to the default of like, yeah, but on the flip side. And now I apologize. I said, you know what? Yeah. I'll be rooting today at 1 o'clock when they play to beat Florida State, move on, because it makes you happy. It makes all of us happy. That's great, man.
Yeah.
Enjoy what about that. You, Joe? What makes you happy in your life?
Good buddies. I love the show. I'm happy. I'm doing something that I'm extremely grateful for this opportunity. I'm extremely grateful. The MTSU job, friends and family, the writing's going well. My books are fantastic. I mean, I'm really, but you don't want to be like, look at me. But I'm very happy. My kids are healthy. My daughter's doing well in her pregnancy. I'll be a grandpa in October. There's a lot of great things that are happening that, you know, make me happy. But I just wanted to know from other people, like, you know, what makes you happy? Sports makes you happy. That's your baseball team, your football. That's great. We just need to hear that. And all too often, we quick to post the bad things. And not the positive. Like, there was a friend who got scammed out of 4 Savannah Banana tickets last weekend. Not once. She got scammed twice.
Oh.
And she was heartbroken, lost hundreds of dollars. And I was like, God, if I had money, I'd help you out. I mean, just – and everybody's like, So it's one of those things, like, you know, looking forward to some of their kids, and this happens, and it goes on, and you just kind of feel awful for people. So that's why I want to say the good today. What's the good in your life? Let us know, and we'll have fun. We'll talk sports.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll also have some tickets to give away. The music of John Williams at Ascend Amphitheater, the famous composer of movie and TV.
When's that?
That is June 28th.
I'm going to have to call in myself during the break
there
and
you
do
go.
That.
So we'll be giving those away. Coming up next, I have a quick hockey thought. Because it's not over yet. There's a championship series that's still going, because I think a team woke up. We'll discuss coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He said we got 100 gallons of sweet red wine made from the biggest watermelons on the vine. Help yourself to some, but obey the law. If you drink, don't drive, do the watermelon crawl. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It's Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday, 102.5, 106.3, the game. A little Tracy Bird bringing us back. You know how to do the watermelon crawl?
So that video that he filmed, we were all working at the Wrangler, and they came in and recruited, not me and not Coach Wells, recruited a bunch of dancers, and they were all on that video. So one of the dancers at the Wrangler, she's the watermelon girl in that video. And we're like, that is so awesome. That's 30 cool. years ago. Thank you.
Wow. A lot of things happened 30 years ago.
Including Yeah.
So because of our question the other day about where were you with the Bronco chase, I've now started, and this happens every few years, like I've started down the rabbit hole of the trial and reading about everything.
It's great. It's good waste of your time.
I mean, it's just like it's an awful, awful thing that happened, obviously, but it is one of the most just fascinating things.
It is, the whole thing.
Like the just the because it does, like you read about it and you go, okay, yeah, he did it. It's obvious. Like it you say that, and then you go, well, I mean, but then this happened, and then this happened, and, you know, and it's just it's like, how did this happen? Like how are you gonna throw evidence in your trunk and just leave it? You know, like it's just things like that. And you know, the star he had and then how it just fell and all of that. But we're talking about what's good this morning. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to that in just a second. The Edmonton Oilers stave off elimination last night. Once again, they've won two in a row now. Game four, they won 8-1, 5-3 last night in Florida. And I'm not shocked because I think they woke up and I think McDavid woke up. He had 4 points last night, so he's had 8 points in the last two games. He's now knocking on the door of passing Gretzky for the most playoff or most points in a playoff, which I think he's going to do. And so you talk about greatest living players. I mean, obviously Gretzky is there for hockey, Lemieux, but I think McDavid's in that conversation now.
You're crazy.
No, I'm not.
You think he's in the Gretzky conversation?
I think he's in the Gretzky conversation.
He's not done anything.
He hadn't won a cup yet. I know that, but like individual performance. Oh yeah, he's in that conversation.
Really?
I don't know. He hadn't passed him. I'm not saying he's passed him.
Okay.
But he's in the – I mean, if Gretzky's saying he's in the conversation, then I think that's okay.
Well, I mean, I'm not a hockey historian, but I just – when I think of Gretzky and McDavid, I just like apples and oranges.
Look,
man,
the book is far from being done. And I –
Well, let's let the book
– But, I mean
– The chapter's
he's
in.
He's pretty gosh darn good. Okay. So – So Edmonton staying alive, and now there will be a game six. It goes back to Edmonton, so they have to see if they can force a game number seven, which I kind of think they will. I really do. Friday night will be game six, so we'll have that for you starting at 6:30 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
So who's torn on this? Because you want a game seven, it's great, but then logistic-wise, NHL's probably like, oh, God, we got to – more travel. ESPN's probably thinking, oh, Lord, now the crew's got to go back to Edmonton, and when they go back to Florida.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what you said. By the way, did you see – I was laughing at this. So on Twitter, they showed kind of the side-by-side of, you know, ESPN has both the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final. And they showed they were like, I guess they only had room for one desk or in the budget for one desk. And it shows the NBA desk, and it's this giant, like, holds seven people or whatever.
Right.
And then the NHL desk, they had, like, five people crammed around, like, something that's smaller than our table here.
Like a Southwest flight. Yeah. Something like that.
I was like, oh, that's pretty funny.
So it's 3-2 Florida, right?
Correct.
And they're up
3-0.
Okay. Yep. And then Friday night, I'll get something to watch on Friday night. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Edmonton is just – like, I think Florida is the better team. But Edmonton's playing, like, a more complete team right now. The power play woke up. McDavid has woken up. Their penalty kill has been really good because Florida's hardly been able to do anything with their power play. I know, you know, Florida kind of started roaring back last night.
Right.
And, you know, Jared was there. Jared's on vacation.
Is that mine?
That's you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
You just watching videos where we're...
I'm trying to... I got a rant. I got a TV rant here in a moment.
Okay. I was like, what's going on?
Sorry.
Is he playing a little video game with her?
Yeah, I don't know.
Pop-up ads, man. I don't know what's going on.
The mute button's great. Jared's on vacation, and he ended up going to the game last night. And so I texted him. I was like, all right, what's the atmosphere like? And he goes, it's good. It's not great, but... You know, Edmonton's leading right now, and he said that when Florida kind of started to come back, then it got loud, and the crowd was starting to get into it. So, it's no Smashville, that's for sure.
All right, here's my TV rant, okay? And it goes along the lines
of we're done with hockey.
No, we're talking about back and forth, how Friday night game So game seven would be when?
Game seven would be on Monday.
On Monday. So Friday's game six, game seven, yep. On which we'd be back in Florida.
Game seven would be in Florida, yes.
Okay. All right. And so, you know, I like the way they kind of spread this out because of travel. It's going to be at the, what, 7 o'clock, right?
Yep.
What time is it? So they keep
it. After seven.
So they keep it current, okay? We had Vince Ferrar on yesterday about the baseball, right? Yep. And he talked about TV times. Have you seen the TV times if they get to the finals?
No.
So game one is Saturday at 6:30 on ESPN. When would you like game two to be on Sunday?
Like 3 o'clock.
Oh, you would like that?
Yeah.
I'd like it at like 6 or 7. It's at 1.
Okay. I mean, on a Sunday, you're going to do it during the day.
I just, why can't I watch it at night?
Because.
Why not move the Stanley Cup final till if they play on the weekend till 3? I mean, let something to watch at night
to
do
that's
that.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
And then Monday, it's back to 6 o'clock. I don't know why 1 o'clock. Why can't you air that on Sunday? Keep it, you know, kind of consistent with what's going on there. At least the hockey's keeping it consistent.
Yeah, right. Well, in the NBA.
NBA, same thing.
NBA was consistent in having, you know, 8 days off in between games.
Right. Because, you know, those games were tape delayed back, you know, before Magic and Bird hit the league. The NBA Finals were tape delayed.
Can you imagine that? Like, so I'm watching this along these lines. I'm watching this documentary called Who Killed WCW.
Okay.
And we're going to, you know, Booker T, that we have his show on Saturdays, he's a big part of it. And so we're going to get him on soon and maybe next week and talk about this. But anyway, one of the things that Eric Bischoff, who was the president of WCW and you know, kind of started the whole Monday Night War thing with the WWF, one thing he said was, Vince and WWF was taping. They were doing all their stuff taped. So he went live, and like it made a huge difference because he'd give away results and like, hey, you don't have to watch. This is what's going to happen. And then like they'd have it live and all that stuff. Like, it was fascinating how much that changed the game because it forced Vince and WWF to go live.
That's great. Was The Rock part of did he tweet out something about this the other day?
So he is the executive producer of this. He was never in WCW. Okay. He was always WWF.
Okay.
Or WWE.
Was this the one that was on TBS? Or what was TNT?
TNT and TBS, because Ted Turner owned it.
Okay.
So he was in the wrestling business.
Did it morph into something else or just completely disbanded?
So after the merger, after Time Warner, AOL Time Warner, after the merger, and Ted basically gave up a lot of his power. There were a ton of people within Turner that hated WCW from the beginning. They didn't want it, but they knew it was Ted's little, you know, side thing that he liked, and so they kind of had to deal with it. After the merger, they were like, we're done.
Really?
And, I mean, it was dying anyway. Okay. It was the last year and a half of WCW was terrible.
Who's the biggest star that came out of that?
Sting. Well, Ric Flair. I mean, Flair was WCW, you know, virtually his whole career. It was NWA and then it was WCW. He left for WWF for 2 years and then came back.
Okay. But this was more of a Southern thing, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Jim Crockett Promotions that Ted bought and made it World Championship Wrestling. And so they were, I mean, it got good because Bischoff got Hogan and Hall and Nash to come over from WWF. They started the NWO. Hogan had been there for a minute, but started the NWO, and that really put them on the map, and they started beating the WWF. And then WWF went to the Attitude Era, and there was action.
Just more
that's
than
when Stone Cold and The Rock and Undertaker and Triple H and Mankind, that's when they all came on the scene.
Okay. All right. There's just a lot of moving pieces and parts and all that.
It's fascinating. Like, you want to talk about rabbit holes? I mean, you watch some of these documentaries on how this all came to be. I mean, right. Ask Reno. Like, you know, he was in the WWF back in the good old days when it was, you know, the Gobbledygooker and, you know, the Brooklyn Brawler and different things like that. So
what is okay, so that was – but, again, that was what, every Monday? When was that on, like 7, 8 o'clock Monday? Or there were certain times for that?
Yeah. I think Nitro was WCW. I want to say it started an hour before Raw. So there was like a 1-hour overlap.
But same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. It wouldn't bounce it around like everything else. Okay.
Yeah, that was the when I discovered that there was a previous channel button on the remote because you could switch back and forth.
Nice.
I mean, that was what it was like back in the day.
Oh, good.
It's a good time. All right, real quick, let's get back to our question. What's good in your life? Jim has been waiting patiently. Jim, what's good in your life?
Well, I have three wonderful grandchildren, a young boy that was 12. We adopted him, or our daughter adopted him about 7 years ago, and then a 5-year-old granddaughter and a 2-year-old granddaughter, and they are just most wonderful things I've got going on right now.
Awesome.
That's very good, man.
Fantastic. Good. Thanks for the call, Jim. Brian. Brian wants to weigh in. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Big Joe, this is Brian Wood. I'm the director of the Challenger Baseball League.
Hey, buddy. What's happening, man?
In Mount Juliet. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. We just wrapped up an amazing spring season. We had close to 70 kids participate.
Yeah.
And just able to provide community, like a safe and inclusive environment for all these special needs families was really, really great in my life. And even Music City Baseball invited us to take part in a couple of all-star games, and just a really great season, and can't wait for fall ball to start in September.
Hey, Brian, before you go, tell everybody what you do over there. I had the opportunity to help you guys out, and God bless you for what you do. Tell us what you do over there.
Yeah, so we run a special needs baseball league for kids with disabilities, and it's amazing. We run ages 5 through 18, and then we also have an adult division that Jeff Schnelly runs. So we just provide an opportunity for kids to play baseball, in a relaxed, non-competitive, no expectation environment. They can all play at their own level, and just go out and have fun. We have buddy teams that, come out and participate with us and help the kids to bat, run, play the field, whatever they need. So it's a good opportunity, to get exposure out there to our community, for special needs families, and just provide a good, safe community for them to take part in.
That's all. What, do you have a website if people are interested?
We do. ChallengerBaseballMJ.com.
Well done.
You go still check us out, and there's a place to donate to help us keep it free for our families. And go check it out.
Good. You still got my baseball glove?
I do, bud.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Thanks,
God bless
Brian.
You.
Thank you, guys.
Very, very nice. Coming up next, you know what else is good in our life? John McClain.
Absolutely.
Joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. We'll talk to him next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday. John McClain joins us now from Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, what's up? How are you?
I couldn't be better, guys. How are you?
We are doing fantastic. You know, it's June. It's the break. But, you know, the news comes out yesterday of report dates for all 32 NFL teams. So that certainly helps with things. But first, I want to start with a quarterback in the AFC South, Trevor Lawrence, getting a massive contract extension. What did you make of the $275 million deal, 5-year deal? For Lawrence, as a quarterback that I don't think we've seen him tap his full potential yet, but he goes ahead and gets the extension. What do you think about it?
He wouldn't be worth it to anybody other than the Jaguars. It's almost like it doesn't matter what you do as a quarterback. If you are a regular starter, who are you next in line? Now you got Dak Prescott, who's going to break the bank because he's got them by the footballs, and there's not anything Jerry Jones can do about it but sign him or lose him and start over. And at Jerry's age, I can't imagine he wants to start over. So could be he gets $60 million a year, could be he gets a little more because he's in the best situation I've seen any quarterback be in. And, you know, Dak was second MVP voting last year, first in touchdown passes, played great till they got to the playoffs, which seems to be almost a perennial problem, 2-5 in the playoffs. And Tua Tagovailoa may be next.
Yeah.
And I've heard they're talking about a shorter contract with him. When you sign, if you're a quarterback, you should want a shorter contract because in Lawrence's case, you know, he's played three seasons. And and then they won't wait till the contract expires. People don't do that other than Jerry Jones. And I think that he's going to be next. Lawrence getting $55 million a year based on what he's achieved is preposterous, but the Jaguars are happy with it, and that's all that matters, because he was viewed as a generational talent since he was a freshman at Clemson. When he came out, everybody said he was the best talent since Andrew Luck in 2012, and then his lack of consistency as far as being a great quarterback, a lot of people want to blame that on his rookie year with Urban Meyer, but Urban Meyer didn't throw those interceptions last season or the season before.
Yeah, or fumbled the football. So if you're the other quarterbacks, I'll just stick in the division. You know, obviously, long way to go for Stroud. He's going into his second year. Richardson and Levis also going into their second year, and they got a lot to prove. But if you're those teams, don't you kind of go, oh, come on, Jacksonville, what are you doing? Like, because you know it's going to affect somebody down the line because of where the value is for those contracts now.
Well, by the time C.J. Stroud signs in 3 years, that's going to look like chump change.
Yeah.
Tip change. He may get $80 million a year. The way it's going, you just don't know. And teams don't worry about that anymore. They know what it's going to be. You know, ever since Deshaun Watson got his $230 million guaranteed, nobody else has gotten $230 million guaranteed, even though they tried. Lamar Jackson did everything he could to get a Watson contract, and he finally settled, and I don't think he's going to the poorhouse. But if you don't let ego and your agent's ego get involved in the situation, you know, you're going to be able to take care of your family, your family's family, theirs families, and you got a chance to get another one.
We're talking to the great John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. All right, John, so we talk about quarterbacks, we talked about left tackles, we talked about defensive ends. At what point do quarterbacks start saying, hey, you're paying all these receivers all this money, but guess who's defending them? We are. Do you see that being kind of the next position that's going to make a lot of money?
Well, the key on quarterbacks, it's not how much money they make, it's what percentage of the cap they take up. All these big contracts with the cap where it is now, they're not taking up as big a percentage as Aaron Rodgers did when he signed his next to last one with the Packers. So that's the key. And they think the cap's going to keep going up substantially because the owners continue to find more ways, streaming, playing overseas, gambling, to make more money. And the problem now is like CeeDee Lamb of the Cowboys. He had, I think, 135 catches, a great receiver. Last season, he was so much better than Justin Jefferson, who was injured, and for quite a bit, barely got over 1,000 yards. But Justin Jefferson gets $35 million. But his quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, is going to be a rookie. And CeeDee Lamb wants to break the bank as a receiver. Micah Parsons next year wants to break the bank is a pass rusher, even though he hadn't done squat in the playoffs. To me, if you're going to get the kind of money you want, you should be productive in the playoffs as well as regular season. But remember, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks but your team. And I read a story today that if those guys, meaning Parsons, if Parsons gets more than Nick Bosa, he'd get 35. If Lamb gets more than Jefferson, he'd get 36. And figuring Prescott 60, those three players would make more money than any three players in the history of the NFL and take up a bigger percentage than any players in the history of the NFL. The Cowboys have consistently botched the negotiations for Dak Prescott, could have gotten him so much cheaper. But remember, he was making like $700,000 on his rookie contract because he was a fourth round pick. But, of course, defensive players are going to want theirs, starting with the pass, with ends. Used to, tackles made a lot less than ends. Now the tackles, because they're on the shorter path to the quarterback, they're making as much as the ends. And then it's the cornerbacks. The only linebackers who are going to make money, the outside linebackers in 3-4s like T.J. Watt, because they're great pass rushers. Right. And safeties are like inside linebackers. They're just – biding their time, trying to eke out every dollar they can, knowing they don't play premier positions.
Exactly. What was the, as you know, you've been around so long and done such a great job, what was the first holdout you could remember for a contract? And I got to think it was way less than what we're talking about today.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. When Warren Moon signed as a free agent out of Canada, where he played Edmonton for 5 years, and he was an unrestricted free agent. A bunch of teams wanted him. It came down to the Seahawks and the Oilers. And the Seahawks, he lived in Seattle because he played at the University of Washington before he went to the CFL. And he went to the CFL because back then, after he was MVP of the 78 Rose Bowl, they were talking about him playing safety. And so he went up there on the advice of his agent, Lee Steinberg, and it worked out great because he came back unrestricted, the first true unrestricted quarterback. And it was so interesting, the war to get him and things teams did, perks for he and his wife, Felicia. And the Oilers finally got him for the biggest contract in NFL history. Moon got 5 years and $5.5 million.
Good grief. We'll have more with John McClain from Houston. Wow. Yeah, we need to break all that. That's for sure. We'll have more with John McClain from Houston coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. Continuing our conversation with John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, we were talking about the Cowboys earlier and Jerry Jones. How much interaction have you had with him over the years? I know you're in Houston, but being in the same state, I would think you've crossed paths a time or two.
Well, let's see. I've had enough interaction for when he was giving his acceptance speech in Canton, Ohio. I was one of the people he thanked. I used to go to Cowboys training camp when I was covering the NFL for 8 years. And the media up there always hated it when I walked in because they knew I got an audience with Jerry and by myself, and he was always going to give me some piece of news. And then they just kind of accepted it. And when he told me one time he was going to put Bob Hayes, the late, great, fastest receiver in NFL history, in his ring of honor, which had been a controversy for years because he hadn't done it, and I felt guilty writing it, but hey, what was I going to do? And so I liked Jerry. When I wrote a column that he was going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, and people in the Metroplex just kill me. And one of my buddies, Randy Galloway, one of the greatest columnists, talk show hosts in Texas history, had me on his talk show, and in good-natured way, basically said I was candidate for an insane asylum and it would never happen. And I said, well, it's going to happen. And when it does, I expect you to call me up, put me on your show, say I was right and you was wrong. He said he would do it. Well, Randy retired. Jerry got in. And I didn't get any time to say anything to Randy except we were voted into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame together. And when I made my acceptance speech, I told that story. And I looked down at him and said, Randy, now's the time for everybody to know you were wrong and I was right about Jerry Jones. And the reason I said that, it wasn't because of them, what they were doing on the field, as much as how he brought new ideas, new revenue streams into the NFL. At first, everybody thought he was nuts. Then everybody thought he was selfish. And then everybody adopted exactly what he was doing. So he brought millions and millions into the NFL coffers and made those franchises, helped make those franchises worth multiple billions. And I'll tell you one quick story about him. Excuse me. When we put Troy Aikman into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, the PR guy, Jerry's PR guy, called me and he said, could Jerry and Steven sit at your table? The Hall of Fame tables and Troy's tables are taken up. And I said, sure. And my dad hated Jerry Jones, didn't know him, of course, because he fired Tom Landry. And so I picked up my dad, who was probably 83 or 4, a couple of his buddies in the same age group, picked him up, take him to the event, and all they did was complain about Jerry Jones sitting at their table. And they weren't going to talk to that SOB because He was terrible, and he fired Tom Landry. So as soon as Jerry came there, he leaned down, and he said, "Which one of these gentlemen's your dad?" And I pointed him out, and he went over, and he said, "Curtis, you mind if I pull up a chair?" And he, what's he going to say? He said, "Sure." And then when Jerry finished, and he talked to him some more, and when I drove those three guys home, they were like, "That old Jerry's a good son of a bitch. I'm so glad I got the money." Because he is one of the greatest salesmen I have ever met.
Well, that was going to lead me into my next question on him was, are we having these contract, you know, talks about guys making gobs and gobs of money if not for Jerry Jones and what he has helped the league accomplish?
Well, he makes – well, that's a great point. And he's helped the players make a lot of money, but the owners of, you know, franchises are worth multiple billions. You know,
yeah, they're not going broke either.
6.50 billion, and so Jerry has done a tremendous job. And the Cowboys, he thinks that he has said if the Cowboys were on the market, he could get $10 billion. Well, you know what? If the Saudis decided they wanted to pay $50 billion, they have a bylaw. You cannot have foreign investment. The NFL owners would rewrite those bylaws so fast to take that $50 million. And the Cowboys are the most valuable franchise in the world, more so than Real Madrid and Manchester United, and Jerry Jones has played a prominent role in all that, and he makes the final decisions on contracts like Prescott. He doesn't negotiate it, but he's kept up to it. And Steven, and he has a salary cap, but Will McClay, who is like his general manager without the title, and he pays millions not to leave and to be their top personnel guy, and Steven oversees everything else. They tell him what they think, that he's going to do what he wants to do. And he takes a lot of heat, and he never complains.
That's what a story. John, let's continue to talk about the owners. I had talked to people last week in town for Bonnaroo from Houston. We got to talk about Bud Adams, and this gentleman's in his 50s, and they loathe Bud Adams. How is Bud perceived today in Houston, John? I mean, they've been gone now since 96. How is that legacy perceived in Houston?
It'll never change because people blame him for moving the team to Nashville. When the fact is, they basically ran him out of town, Nashville. All he wanted was $180 million in public money. It cost us $1.2 billion to replace the Oilers. And Bud went through a lot of coaches. He had a reputation forever of being bottom line Bud. And then he started letting his general manager, Ladd Erzing, spend a lot of money. He used to go through coaches every other year, but there was a period where, you know, they won the first two AFL championships and Bud was a toast to the town. They lost double overtime to the Dallas Texans, the Chiefs now in the third one. They had the run and shoot era where they went to the playoffs, a league high 7 consecutive seasons. They were exciting with Warren Moon, Bruce Matthews, Mike Munchak headed to the Hall of Fame. The Love You Blue era's got 4 Hall of Famers led by running back Earl Campbell, and those were the three greatest eras, but they had some really bad ones. And people, Bud and his negotiators got a refurbished Astrodome with more seats by playing like they were going to Jacksonville in 87. So a lot of political people thought Bud's bluffing, call his bluff, and they did. We never had a vote, a referendum, to see if the public wanted to give Bud $180 million. I don't think they would have. But we had 2 for the Rockets. And the first one didn't pass. The second one did. So the Rockets got a new building. And the truth is the Astros and the Rockets owe their buildings and all the millions they make to Bud. Because when Bud moved, it scared the voters to death.
Wow.
They're like, oh, my God, he's leaving. We better give new stadiums to the Astros and the Rockets. And they did. So they should always be indebted to Bud Adams. And I've tried, and I won't give up trying. I think Bud belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I know he does because of things he did, helping the AFL bring the NFL to its knees and having a merger. There's so many things, and I'll tell y'all sometime if you want to devote a show to it, because there were so many things that he did.
And I love that. Oh, yeah.
He did a tremendous job and he did it for a long time, and he deserves to be in there, but I've done everything I can do, but I won't give up.
Is he the last original AFL owner who's not in the Hall of Fame?
No, there's others, and Ralph Wilson, I never would have voted Ralph Wilson in over Bud. Bud did things behind the scenes that only Al Davis, and Al wasn't even really the owner. He was the managing general partner, did whatever he wanted. But Lamar Hunt and Al Davis and Bud Adams were the movers and shakers who did things behind the scenes. But starting in 1958, when Lamar Hunt, 24 years old, came down to meet with 36-year-old Bud Adams about starting a new league.
Amazing. Real quick before you go, Willie Mays passed away yesterday, John, and we had a question, Chase and I, earlier for the NFL. Who's the living legend, John, for the NFL right now? I threw out Joe Namath. I don't know. You know more than I do. But who's the one guy that's the NFL living legend?
Well, first of all, I fell in love with baseball. I was a fan as a child because my parents and grandparents watched the baseball on old black and white TVs. And back then, the baseball had two All-Star games, and the second one was for money to go to the Union. And when I saw Willie Mays hit a triple, lose his cap, go sliding in at third base with a hook slide and dirt flying everywhere, I was sold. He's still the greatest all-around player I've ever seen. And I would say today, because of what Joe Namath did for the NFL and what he did for the Jets in New York, I think that Joe would be the closest thing to Willie Mays. There's a lot of people that we lost a little piece of ourselves when Willie Mays died, and I think a lot of people are going to feel that way about Joe Namath, who just turned 80 a couple months ago.
Very, very good. John, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
Guys, thank you very much. I hope you have a great rest of the week.
You too. John McClain joining us here on the program. We'll have a Live Golfer, they're in town. Join us coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.